CTW Mobile.
For CTW, this is November 4, Quebec, November Victor. Name here is Brian.
Here's Tyler. How you doing today?
Doing well. Just pulled up to my youngest grandson's preschool and going to wait about 20 minutes before they get out and then take them to my house for a while.
Forgot how early preschoolers get out.
I was brought up never to be late, too, so I'm early. They don't get out till 12:45, but here I sit.
Late. I'm just here taking a lunch break myself. I just wanted to get out of the office for a few minutes. I'm here in the truck, figured I'd see if anybody was on the radio.
That's good. Well, I'm in my almost mid-70s, so I don't have a formal job, but I am... been a nanny to my youngest grandson since he was 2 months old. My daughter teaches elementary school, so most of the year I've got him 2 to 3 days a week.
I have a formal job. I bet you traded one formal job for over a dozen informal jobs. Am I right?
But the pay here is better. You get grins and hugs.
I don't think you can replace that. That's always always a good thing.
Been lived up here for since 97, and then I hadn't been on the air until I just got the 2-meter rig going about a month, less than a month ago. So I've been doing mostly listening, see how things work. Been a different live in different states, and people do things differently.
Where did you move from?
Down in Fort Myers, Florida, which is one of my favorite places to go. Before that, it was in D.C., outside of the D.C. area, Northern Virginia. And if you said, if I got on the air and said N4QNV monitoring, I would probably get a response from one of the Maryland clubs saying, I'm monitoring too, but if you want to talk to somebody, we go CQ.
See, I've always heard people say the biggest way to have somebody come down on you on a repeater is to call CQ on the repeater, so that's interesting that they do that down there.
In one of the Maryland clubs, I had 25 miles from my house to the office, and it was an enormous number of repeaters, so there's no shortage of places to go.
You said you've done a lot of listening. Have you listened in on any of the nightly nets on this repeater?
I started to write down some of the call signs, and I decided that was a bit silly. So during the day, if I'm doing chores, like this morning running to the dump, if I hear somebody on the air, I'll write down their name and call sign. And yours was one of the ones I've got down, although I think I've got the wrong name. I've got William or Bill.
Clearly wrong. William is my first name, but I go by Tyler, which is my middle name.
What I do is I'd write down the call, then when I get home, I just look up on the ARRL and see what the name is. So I have to scratch off William/Bill and put Tyler.
I've got it on QRZ as my middle name as a preferred name or nickname, but a lot of people, especially when I'm on HF, they're using logging software or looking it up on something else. They'll call me William or Bill. It's just part of it. It's happened my whole life. When you go by your middle name, people always just assume it's the first that you go by.
The three first names, Brian, Alan, and Craig.
First names, that's pretty interesting.
Fort Myers, that part of Florida, had a kind of a bad rep. You'd see some remarks in various publications that although it's a very senior community, the area itself, the average age back 25 years ago was 62, and I'm sure it's higher now. But if they didn't know you, chances are they wouldn't respond.
That's pretty unfortunate. I got my technician's license, I guess it was probably around February or March of last year, so I've only been in this for a little while, but I will say that everybody in this area so far has been really, like, welcoming, easygoing. I haven't noticed any of that kind of thing going on. It's a pretty open, welcoming environment. environment in the ham community around here.
Completely. It's a lot different than Fort Myers. Like I say, if they knew you, they'd talk to you. And if they didn't, they didn't respond at all, which is very unusual.
Still a lot of people I've not met in person, but I'm just now getting to meet some of the people I've talked to a good bit on the air in person, because a lot of the clubs were not having in-person meetings over the past 2 years, you know, because of COVID, and some of them have started up a little while ago, and some of them are just now getting close to getting back to it. So I myself, like I said, have met fewer people in person than I probably would have otherwise that I've talked to on the radio.
That I haven't met anyone yet so far. Like I said, the last couple of decades I was off the air or doing other things, so it's been a while since I had the radio. Every now and then I'd listen on an HF rig, but on 2 meters I've been out.
Hey, like there's a couple clubs depending on where you're at, but just, you know, check around. And most everyone in the upstate, depending on where you live, you know, which one's close to you, almost every one of them is going to welcome visitors if you're interested in getting together and meeting some of the people.
Plan on doing that. Yes, I live in Greer, although I'm out here in Route 153, and I guess it's Anderson County. I forgot what county this is, but exit 40 on I-85, so seem to get good reception on this repeater.
Yeah, Brar's repeater. This is a Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, which is the club that I belong to. I know there's a Greer club. I'm not a member of that, and they have their own repeater. I don't know what the frequency is of it, but this one is probably the widest coverage area of anyone in the upstate. It covers most, if not all, of the upstate of South Carolina on into Anderson, down even toward, like, Fountain Inn, Lawrence sometimes, and you get on up into, like, Brevard a little bit, western North Carolina, Hendersonville. It's got a pretty wide coverage area. It does really well.
It's also one of the hardest ones to find in the repeater directory. I've got two different directories. One is the ARRL, you know, repeater directory. Then I got one for a map ARRL, or a map repeater, if it's where I'm going to travel. But this one is not listed as Greenville. I've got one of them that lists it at Cleveland, which I guess is technically the unincorporated area where the tower is at 4QNV.
Like the repeater tower itself, the transmitter is actually on Caesar's Head Mountain, which is northern Greenville County, right up near the state line. So it's not in Greenville per se. The club does have another repeater on Paris Mountain, which is in Greenville. It's a little bit less coverage. It's not used quite as much as this one. This is definitely the more popular of the two. And if you're traveling and looking, I usually use a website called Repeater Book. It's pretty good. It's probably one of the most comprehensive ones I've found for listing repeater frequencies with, you know, have all your offsets that they have. It'll have the tones if they have any, that kind of thing. I've had good luck with it.
Just got the other day the second booklet, the repeater map, which isn't bad. It gives you a map and also gives you a directory list of cities, but on the map you can see where you're going, and you'll see some lines out that'll tell you what the frequencies are for that area.
Definitely with the internet now, there's a lot more resources for finding that versus back in the days of having to hear word of mouth, or if you're lucky, maybe you get a paper flyer from the ARL or something. You said you get on HF some. Are you very active on HF much?
Waiting for the commercial to end. No, I haven't been active on HF. I just do some listening just to try to keep some semblance of ability with CW.
I myself am trying to learn CW right now. I told myself when I got my extra that I would learn CW. I didn't want to do one thing at a time, but since I got that recently, I've been trying to do that, and it's at least for me, it's a lot more difficult than learning the material for the test has been so far. I've noticed it's kind of, it almost has a musical quality to it. I really almost think people who are talented at music could probably learn CW a lot faster, and that is something that I've never had much of, is rhythm and tone, so it's taking me a little bit of work to try to get it down.
I used to be a classical musician back in the 60s, and it didn't help.
Still with me?
Sure, what happened? Could be me. I'm using an old 2-meter rig I want to try to use for when I go traveling out of town. I don't want the newer one to get ripped off. But yeah, it went blank for a bit.
You were a classical musician? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, and you hear various things. Chances are you're good at math. I've heard that before. CW, but it was a little different. And when I took the general class test, I mean, they have a fake conversation. They answer questions about what was said. And every once in a while, they'll put in a ringer, like the one when I took. The occupation was carpentry. And a whole bunch of guys didn't get the last three letters right and put down carpenter. So I don't get to the rhythm of it, and I've gotten used to just a while before I could do anything like trying to listen for words.
I'm just trying to work on a combination of just listening and comprehension of receiving code, which that's been the toughest part, and then I'm trying to start out with sending, at least learning my most common stuff to be sending, of course, my call sign and, you know, standard exchanges, that type of thing, so I can at least, hopefully, if I get my comprehension and my reading a little bit better, I can at least do some short exchanges with some people who do, like, Parks on the Air or Summits on the Air kind of thing.
Yeah, I've, when I first got up here, I tried to hook up my HF, and I was interfering with TVs and stuff in the area, so I stopped. When I was in Fort Myers, I had a three-element beam on top of my house, so I could kind of turn that to anywhere in the world I wanted and just go.
Big plus. I've not got like a standard beam. I have a homemade Moxon, which is it's like a folded two-element beam. But even just with that, just adding the reflector on there makes a huge difference over the dipole.
The neighbors here would probably want to lynch me if I put up a beam. So what I'm probably going to do is I've got a old Hustler mobile antenna stick that I've got four bands I could put on it. But I'll probably just end up putting a little dipole in the crawl space of in the attic of the house. So visually, I won't upset any of the neighbors.
This past weekend, I was working on a vertical antenna for portable operation, and it's just basically a base of PVC and extension with a fiberglass fishing pole, just for support of a vertical wire, and you got some radials there. And just testing it out this past weekend, even with just that basic vertical setup, I did even make a couple DX contacts. I think I had someone I had actually contacted before in Slovenia, and that was only running 20 watts. So for limited space, there's something to be said for a vertical.
I was giving that some thought and thinking about just putting something on the top of a piece of PVC pipe, and then when I want to use it, pick it up off the ground and prop it against the house. But we'll see. I'll probably end up going with the one in the attic and just keep it that way.
Give attic dipoles to a lot of success. I've not set up that way yet. I'm lucky to have a lot of trees and a decent sized yard and no HOA restrictions. So for at least right now, the neighbors don't complain because all the antennas are hidden behind trees. You can't see them from the road.
HOA, that was death on any type of antenna, TV or whatnot, except they didn't mess with you if you had a ham radio. That was in Fort Myers. But up here, I don't see many antennas sticking up, but although I'm generally not looking for them, so that may be the reason.
Yeah, it's funny. I never really noticed antennas sticking up either until I got my license. And then I realized that there were ham antennas all over the place that I'd been driving by for years and not noticed, because I really didn't really know what I was looking at.
And I lived in Fort Myers, where, like I say, they were deaf on antennas. And when they told me to take mine down, I sent a note back to the person saying, okay, first of all, it's down. It's on the roof, but not up in the air. And if you're going to enforce this, I want to be sure you do it uniformly. So here's a list of 18 other antennas, and one is the treasurer of the association. If mine comes down, I expect to see theirs come down.
Always have that in an HOA. I'm sure they got right on that. The treasurer was the first one to volunteer to take his down, if I'm guessing correctly, right?
This line on the response back was, if it's ham radio, forget what we said. They're fine.
Well, for you than it has for most people, from what I've heard. That's normally, they don't make many exceptions for ham radio. They're not very sympathetic to it, so maybe because somebody on the board was a ham, he carved out that exception that you got to benefit from, sounds like.
Across the river from Fort Myers is a city called Cape Coral, and they had one of the associations had a running legal battle with one of the local hams as far as the antenna. He had his disguised as a umbrella stand over his table in the backyard, and they still took him to court, but he won in court, so they kind of backed off of that. But there was just people taking it to an absurd level in 4QNV.
Dream for them to go after like a hidden or stealth antenna, something that's like disguised as an umbrella stand, that's worse than I've ever heard, even from the most restrictive places.
From Florida, it'd be a little bit different. Now that I'm one of the older groups, I still don't get that way, but you had a lot of people who came from up north, moved down there, and they wanted everything their way, or they threatened to sue. In this case, they actually went through with the lawsuit. But fortunately, they lost.
Well, kind of rough situation when you have people who are really litigious like that. They have no problem going to court over such small things that really probably could be worked out with some, you know, civil conversation.
And actually, it was kind of funny. The court said, you know, the person you're suing has spent thousands of dollars trying to satisfy your demands for it not to be visible. And the judge says, and I don't think it's visible. So he ruled in the defendant's favor.
They can't argue with the judge.
My experience is the only person more powerful than a sitting judge is a naval captain at sea.
Argue with a naval captain at sea, because they can always remove you from the boat while it's underway.
Brig, as I refer to Huskow.
That'd be putting a lifeboat instead of drift, I suppose.
It looks like they're starting to bring out some of the little ones, so I should get my grandson pretty quickly on number 4 in line. Hey, Tyler, it's nice to chat with you. You're actually the second person I've talked to in the last couple weeks. I talked to one gentleman who was very nice about giving me an analysis of my signal. I wasn't sure if I was talking to air or if anybody was getting the signal. So, but again, it's nice to meet you. I've got my little cheat sheet marked with the right name instead of William or Bill. So hopefully I'll chat with you again later on. And again, this is N4QNV. His name is Brian, and I'll be clear on your phone.
It was good to talk to you as well, and I'm sure I will bump into you here on the repeater in the near future. And good luck. Hope you have a great afternoon. Enjoy this nice weather we're having. And this is W4CTW. I'll be clear.
Welcome to Tango Mobile. CW2T. Good afternoon.
You're out and about again.
Well, I don't know about again. I haven't been out since last night when I got home, so I'm headed out for the first time today. Got to go grab me a bite of lunch and then run a couple errands and pick up some stuff and then head back to the house. And then I got to go mix up some weed killer and kill some weeds.
I got to get a couple of things packed up, ready to ship out, maybe go to the post office this afternoon. That's going to be the extent of my running around this afternoon.
Well, like I said, I'm going to get some lunch. I'm headed to Olive Garden, and I usually wait until almost 1 o'clock, and then I can sit in the bar and not be disturbed by everybody coming in for all the seats in the place. Then I'll run around to, I got to run to Lowe's and pick up a couple of items. And then I'll come back to the house, and like I said, I'll mix me up some spray for spraying the weeds, and go out and spray the weeds, and then I'll go back inside and play on my radio for a while.
Spraying the weeds. I got to get my termite stuff done tomorrow, and I got to move a bunch of stuff. Guy usually sprays, does a various spray inside and outside, so we got to get all the stuff in the garage pulled out. That's always a chore.
That's what happens when you got to treat for termites and all. Used to be in that business at one time.
It does ours. His family's been doing it for years, but they changed one time, and whenever they start changing stuff, you got to get they got to get rebonded and all that sort of thing. And luckily, we didn't have to go through a major thing because he was able to use when they had this house built. We had to. They could use the good stuff on it then, so it doesn't get, we only had to have it retrieved once. He just does a check and, gets some of the house and looks around. Of course, my crawl space, you can almost stand up in it, so just clean up on that, so they don't mind going up under there. It's always dry, too. So, hopefully everything will be fine. I'm sure it will be. I like for them to do the barrier spray on the inside and outside of the garage to keep all the critters out.
Like I said, I used to be in that business, and I liked those houses I could stand up under. I didn't like the ones I had to crawl under to re-inspect them. I did termite and pest control service, both. I was licensed to do both, so I did inspections for termites and things like that and all of that, and then also did all the treating for pest control, too. So I got trained all the way around because I was in sales and then also service, too, so. I did some of both. Anyway, well, I noticed my gas station at the end of my street has gone up another dime a gallon from yesterday to today, so they're up to $3.89 a gallon now from where they were at $3.79 yesterday. So, oh, well, the fluctuation of prices. Anything to stick it to us poor folks out here. What else you been up to?
To be honest with you, we just... We've been kind of semi-busy, but we didn't have to go to Greenville today like we normally do on Tuesday, so that's a good deal. And I was just noticing most everything here is around $3.89 or so, but Sam's down the road from here about 2 miles at $3.70, plus they get a little bit of a discount on that, too. On top of that, so that's not too bad. But I tell you what, they really do. They're really working us over on this gas prices. We're lucky there to be in South Carolina. Some of these states are paying over $5 a gallon. That'd just crush the economy here.
Has to deal with that. She lives down in Florida, and where she lives, her price for gas the other day, and because of the type of car she's got, she's got to run either the mid or the high grade, and mostly the and everything. So her gas down there where she is like $4.89 a gallon for hers, or $4.87 a gallon, something like that for hers. And she's got a little Mini Cooper that's got that high efficiency 3-cylinder engine in it, so she treats that baby nice. And so it goes good and everything, but anyway, it looks like it's trying to cloud up over here, but it's just supposed to be cloudy today. At least there's not supposed to be a chance for rain. And you talking about Greenville, I'm gonna be playing around all around in Greenville Friday, Saturday and Sunday. My barbershop course, we volunteer to work artist fair, so it helps us. We help them, and they give us some little donations to help us. So we're going to go over, and I'm going to go over and be in charge of beer and wine sales in several different areas of the Spartosphere Friday and Saturday, and then got to perform on Sunday, and then sell beer again on Sunday afternoon. So we'll see what happens. WU2 T-Mobile.
Guys, got to do it, I guess.
Expecting over 10,000 people between the 3 days, so and this is the first time they've been able to use all of Main Street where they used to, and then because last year it was down to just the lower end down there, down the very lower end. It was only like 3 blocks long, but now they're back to taking up half of Main Street coming down there.
I think the weather's gonna be okay. I got about a 40% chance tomorrow, and Thursday's going to be good. Friday's 80% chance, there were 90, but that can change with a little wind blowing. Same thing with Saturday. It's about 30% chance on Saturday, but it's going to be hot, though. It's going to be in the high 80s. Looks like most of the next few days, and probably through the weekend, it's going to cool back off a little bit first part of next week, but it's pretty toasty outside today.
My in-car thermometer says it's 85 outside right now where I'm driving along. Well, Sunday it's only supposed to be, we're on stage Sunday. Unfortunately, we're under a tent, but so that'll help some. But it's an open-sided tent, but it's still a tent. And it's only supposed to be in the upper 70s on Sunday, so that might not be too bad. If there's a little bit of breeze, it'll help out. But, we're going to be singing outdoors. And that's always a fun task when you're trying to sing outdoors and you're singing a cappella like we do, which is no instruments or anything playing with us. So fun, 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 as they say. And good to talk to you and everything. I'm about up to where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to get into a little bit of heavy traffic when I turn on 29 here. So I'm going to go ahead and sign with you before I make this next right left-hand turn. And I'll talk to you later. N4DJC, WU2T, 73s for now.
Enjoy your lunch. And good talking to you as usual. Have a good afternoon. WU2T, N4DJC.